Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter number 60, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. To thee I lift my soul, in thee my trust repose. My God, oh, put me not to shame before triumphant foes. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter number 60. Scripture reading for this morning hour can be found in the Gospel of John, the third chapter, the first 21 verses, John 3, verses 1 through 21. But first we will read the Holy Law of God according to Exodus 20. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. And thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me, and keep my commandments. And thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless, and that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. And thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. John chapter 3. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, We speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For every one that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. So far, the reading of God's holy word. We hope to remember in prayer this morning Miss Rachel Outshorn, who had an accident this past week, Mr. Boss the Pewter, who is in the hospital, Mrs. Willie Gulliker, who needs to have surgery this coming Friday. Also, Mr. Martin Niels has lost cattle by the collapse of some of his calf shelters. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty and all-seeing and all-knowing, but also the governing God of the heavens and of the earth, who dwelleth on high, and yet who humbleth himself to behold the things that are in the heavens and in the earth, then thou knowest also what we do experience and have experienced in the week that is now gone by, and in these weeks wherein thy hand in the realm of nature has been so manifest, so evident among us. Lord, that thou would give to us hearts that may bow in humility before the Creator, the Maker, and also the Upholder of the heavens and of the earth, the God of providence. And nothing is hid from thee, but thou doest all things according to thy own good pleasure. And the animals, as we have heard, thou hast taken them away. Wilt thou supply in the needs for the animals in this world, but also for those that do lose them from time to time, the bread of the household, Lord, wilt thou supply in all things, but wilt thou also lead with thy hand, that thy hand may be felt, may be seen, and that man may be given to look for thee, to thee, for direction, for cause, and for help. Thou hast spared each and every one of us, also her that has been involved in an accident in the week that has gone by. O Lord, once again, the calling comes to her. The calling comes to her classmates who have received callings so, so many times. And to all of our youth, that the old must die, but the young can die. O Lord, that thou may bind it upon her heart. O, that thou would not let her go in the way that we all go, when thou dost not stop us, but that thou may use this calling, wherein thou hast brought her so near in a human way to the gates of death, and thou hast still given her time, and all of us together, O give, that these callings may be bound upon our hearts. Lord, we are of the earth, earthy, and we have no impression, no saving impression. We have natural impressions. Oh, they come and they go. But oh, that thou would give to us what we cannot give unto ourselves, that thy word also may be sanctified and blessed in the midst of us as a congregation. And that thou would give that also the youth and the children may be given hearing ears in this morning hour, that thy word may be a gift, not only that we may learn in our minds and know thy way and thy word and thy command and thy truth, but that it may be sanctified to our souls. Oh, that thou would look upon us also as parents. Oh, when our children are spared, when we are spared, Lord, then to whom else ought we to go but unto thee, who yet extendest unto us and our families, our life, and the opportunity and the callings to turn from our vain and carnal ways, that we might live. Humble, therefore, the parents and each and every one of us before thee, and wilt thou look upon us in mercy in this day. Oh, that thou may go before us in the preaching of thy word, but also in the hearing. Oh, that there also may be those in the midst of us who do cry out to thee, Lord, the God of my salvation. Oh, that there may be those who need thee in the midst of all of their soul trouble, that they may look, that they may cry, and that thou may grant mercy in the midst of well-deserved wrath, and that among us there may be those whose hearts go out to the true and the living God. O Lord, we have brought ourselves so far away from thee, and we have cut ourselves off from thy communion. O, that thou may bring us again, and that thou may draw us again,
and that thou mayest seek us out. Oh, we have read it out of thy holy word. How that as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must that Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but should have eternal life. And Lord, we have no spiritual life by nature, that we cannot believe in thee. There is no room for thee. There is no place for thee. Oh, we reject thee with all our heart and with all our strength. Oh, that thou may strip away all that is of ourselves, that we may be brought indeed to that place where we may need a Savior for our poor, never-dying soul, and that our heart may cry to thee, that thou may deliver us from all our iniquity, and that we may be brought again into that blessed communion and favor of our Maker. Oh, remember young and old. There is none too young and there is none too old to receive that new life that we cannot miss. That thou would then look upon all that have become old under the preaching of thy holy word. O Lord, wilt thou give when a man seems to go in the state of nature to the end of his life, and there is nothing that can move us, and nothing from man, and nothing from self, then wilt thou come with the power of thy Holy Spirit, and wilt thou work in us, and that which we cannot work in ourselves, even when we have become old, and when we have heard thy word so many times in our life, and when it can seem so hopeless, 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 and that we would ever be brought into that communion. Oh, that there may be such in this morning that are not able to do without thee, and that thou may visit from above, but that there also may be those who have come so careless in a natural way, but that must be wrought upon in this morning hour. O Lord, is it not true? And that one word by thy Holy Spirit, and then man shall become a new man. Oh, that thou would do so, that thou would work it, that each and every one of us may be a witness of what thou art able to do by the power of thy Holy Spirit. O thou who camest into the synagogues, thou who didst cast out Satan, so that men did glorify and magnify thy name. O that thou would show thyself also in the days of that we live in with our dear children. Bless thy word to that end. Be with all that are not able to gather with us in all their needs and cares and sicknesses in this world, but also those who have other difficulties. Remember widows, widowers, and orphans in the loneliness and in all the needs and cares of this life. Be also with him who is in the hospital. Thou knowest the needs of his body. Wilt thou give wisdom and wisdom unto the doctors, that they may be able to treat him as is necessary, and that the medications may be blessed and sanctified for his bodily needs, and that he may receive also a visit from thee when he is not able to be in thy house, which his heart so desires. Lord, that thou may visit him then in his own place. But be also with her that must go into the hospital in this week to receive surgery. Lord, thou knowest the fears of her heart and all that she is afraid of. Oh, that thou mayest stand on her right and on her left hand. O thou who art able to make it so well, above all that we deserve, and above all that we can ask or think, oh, that thou would make it well. For the body bless thou the work of the physicians, but give her also a blessing out of thy heavenly store. Oh, remember her and her family then in mercy, and all of us together be, and with all widows, widowers, and orphans, and sick, and handicapped, and lame, and deaf, and dumb, and blind ones over the length and breadth of the whole world, and those that have insufficient to eat and drink, and are not clothed and sheltered, and those who are in the midst of warfare, protect lives. And supply for the needs of the body. But give also that thy word may go forth over the length and breadth of this whole world. Send forth, O Lord, thy servants, that they may go forth in the year that is before us. Oh, that they may be called with a heavenly, spiritual, with a powerful calling, that they may know who has placed upon them those labors, and in whose name that they are called and sent forth into this world. O Lord, that thou would show that thou dost not yet leave us, when thou wilt raise up men who may go forth unto the mission fields, and that may go forth into this world, that may go forth also in the midst of our own congregations. Oh, that they may be thrust forth, who have no ability in themselves, but who are truly wrought upon by thy Holy Spirit. And that so thy work may continue, even amongst the denomination and the rising generation. Look upon us in this morning. Lord, we are called again to bring that word, and thou knowest that we are but a man. Thou callest not the angels, those powerful and holy beings, but thou callest but weak men. Thou callest but sinful men to proclaim, to cry out for the need of the souls. To cry out thy holy word, thy command, thy invitation, that thou may look upon us. Help us then, but be with thy spirit among us. Lord, we beseech it of thee. If it is but a man's word, then it shall not receive the place in the heart. But, if it is the word of thee, if it is accompanied by thy spirit, even in these poor times, then there shall be fruit upon this labor. And then thy word, and that shall be powerful, that it may be evident in the midst of us, amongst young and old. Forgive, take away, and keep us from all iniquity in speaking and in listening. Drive thou out the buyers and the sellers. Be thou amongst us as one that serveth, for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 233, as stanzas 1, 2, 3, and 6. Bow down thy ear, O Lord, and hear, for I am poor and great my need. Preserve my soul, for thee I fear, O God, thy trusting servant heed. O God, thy trusting servant heed. 1, 2, 3, and 6 of Psalter 233. Thank you.
Congregation, the words of our text for this morning hour can be found in the portion of God's Word which was read to you, John 3, and thereof the third verse, John 3, verse 3. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So far the words of our text. The new birth first, the figure of this new birth. Second, the necessity of this new birth. And third, the working of this new birth. The new birth, first, the figure. Second, the necessity. And third, the working of this new birth. How can these things be? That is the question, congregation, which we hear asked here. And who is it that is asking this question? That is a man named, children, Nicodemus. Who is that man? He is a Pharisee. We read here that he is a ruler of the Jews. He is not an unlearned man. No, he is a man that is very well learned. And not merely in the things that are in this world, but also in the things that have to do with religion. Also in the Old Testament law. Also in the prophecies. Also in the Psalms. Thus, a Pharisee, a ruler, a man who has received a high place within the church. And yet this man does not understand how, he says, can these things be? And this man is not afraid to say that he does not understand. Are we afraid to say so, boys and girls, young people? That we do not understand, then we cannot learn. But this man, he comes to the Lord Jesus. Or who is it that he did not understand? That was the Lord Jesus himself. And this man has come to the Lord Jesus, we read, even by night. He has come to the Lord Jesus because he has heard of the Lord Jesus. He has most likely heard many things that the Lord Jesus has spoken. And then it is not enough for him that he would be just one of those in the crowd, just one of the multitude. No, but he has questions that are living within his own heart. Do we also have such questions? Is it sufficient for us that we come and we sit with the multitude in the house of God? Or do we also have another life where in private we also are attempting to draw near unto the Lord? That we may come to the Lord with all our questions and with all our riddles and perplexities. So this man comes. He comes to the Lord Jesus by night. Well, then naturally there will not be others there. It can be because if we know a little bit of our own hearts and what our human nature is, that this man also comes to the Lord Jesus in the night because he is a little afraid. That he is afraid of his fellow officers within the church. He knows what men, especially the rulers of the Jews, think of the Lord Jesus Christ. And though his heart does not believe the same, yet he is afraid to come to the Lord Jesus, to address the Lord Jesus with his questions in the daytime. That is a false shame. He need not be ashamed. He need not be afraid. But that is that false shame that is so often living in the heart of men. What does the Lord Jesus do? Does the Lord Jesus say, Nicodemus, if you come not to me in the daytime, if you are afraid to come to me in front of all of your friends, if you are afraid to own me in the public, then I will not own you either, and I will not listen to your questions, and I will give you no answer. No, the Lord Jesus does not do so. No, then he is also compassionate with the frailties of mankind. And so the Lord Jesus gives unto Nicodemus in the night time, in that time that he would receive a little rest perhaps for his body, the Lord Jesus gives to Nicodemus his ear. What is it that Nicodemus does not understand? They are the words of the Lord Jesus. And what has the Lord Jesus said? He said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Why does Nicodemus not understand this? Is this something that is so very difficult to understand? That is not so difficult to understand in an outward, in a natural way. But the Lord Jesus does not speak about natural matters, but the Lord Jesus speaks about that which is spiritual. And now, because it is spiritual, and the Lord Jesus even gives him a figure, a natural figure, that he may help him to understand, yet this man, this ruler of the Jews, cannot comprehend it. How can these things be? Or our natural learning in this world, and all of our learning also of the doctrine of the church, the histories of the Bible, all our religious learning, still does not give man the ability to understand, to receive spiritual matters. Art thou a master in Israel, the Lord Jesus says, and knowest not these things? No, he does not know them. Why not? Because he is a natural man. And that natural man, Paul says, does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. They are what to him? They are foolishness to him. Foolishness. This is what Nicodemus thought. Nicodemus, he says, how is that possible? Shall a man then enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? What is this to Nicodemus? It is but foolishness. Thus, with all our natural learning, then we can receive the greatest wisdom, but we still need to be taught spiritual matters, that we may know and that we may receive spiritual things. This matter of the new birth, that is one of the first doctrines that we hear that the Lord Jesus, when he is beginning his ministration here in this world, this is one of the first doctrines that we hear that the Lord Jesus explains to man. He uses a natural figure to portray something which is spiritual. He says that a man must be born again in order to portray that a man has to undergo a very great spiritual change. Thus, the Lord Jesus is making here a great contrast between the two great classes of men in this world. What does the Lord Jesus say? He says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Thus, he says, there are two great classes of men in this world. There are unconverted and there are converted. He says, there are unregenerate men and there are regenerate men in this world. They are men of the flesh and men of the spirit. And there are none else. There are only these two. The Apostle Paul, he writes, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Thus, Paul also writes and explains these two great classes of men in this world. There are many differences between unconverted men in this world. There are great differences. Some of them are religious people. Some of them are not religious people. Some of them are outwardly wicked. Others of them, they are outwardly righteous. And they are coming to the house of God. They are singing the praises of God. But the Lord Jesus classes them all together. He says that they are all born of the flesh. Then there are also great differences among the true children of the Lord. There are great differences in their characters. There are great differences in their circumstances. And yet, they are born of the Spirit. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. What is that, the kingdom of God? That is not the outward church. No, we can see the outward church. We can be a member of the outward church. And we can have the rights and we can have the privileges of the outward church and yet not be born again. And yet never have experienced any great spiritual change to be brought from death unto life. No, that is not the outward church. The kingdom of God, what does the Lord Jesus mean by this? He means a spiritual kingdom. What did the Lord Jesus say to Pilate? He says, my kingdom is not of this world. My kingdom is not from hence, otherwise my servants would fight. Thus the Lord Jesus speaks about that spiritual kingdom, except a man be born again. Thus, the Lord Jesus speaks of this change, this great spiritual change. He speaks about it as something that is very, very great. He says that it is a change just as great that may be likened unto a child which is being born into this world. A child that is being introduced into this world, he is introduced into something that is for him entirely new. He has never seen, he has never experienced anything like this before when he is brought forth out of the womb.
brought out of that dark womb into the light of this world. And a person receiving consciousness of his existence, beginning to feel, beginning to see, beginning to hear, beginning to thirst, beginning to cry, beginning to taste. That is now the figure. The Lord Jesus says that this change that is necessary to come upon a man in this world, that is a very great change. As a child experiences when he is brought forth out of the womb, and then other figures are used to represent that same change in the Word of God. So it is called here a new birth. But we also read in the Word of God that it is called a quickening. That is, a quickening from the dead. That is, to a new life. It is called a regeneration. It is called a translation, a transformation of the soul. It is called a liberation, that is, a liberating the soul out of the prison to give him freedom. It is called an awakening, that is, as if a person, he is awakened out of his sleep. It is called a resurrection. That is, as if a person is resurrected actually from the dead, that he is receiving a new life. There is no greater change that a person can experience in his whole life than a new birth. Where an impotent man is brought out of the darkness of nature and brought into the marvelous light of God. Oh, then he begins to see things that he didn't see before. He begins to hear things. He begins to understand things that he never understood before. His heart is made capable of receiving impressions, saving impressions that he never could receive before. He begins to believe things that he has never believed before. Oh, the desire of him who is born by water and spirit. What is it? That is actually one. That is born of the spirit, likened to be washed with water, born by the water and the spirit. One who undergoes such a new birth, then he receives desires in his heart that the natural man does not know. The natural man does not understand. What was the great difference between those two young men, young people, Jacob and Esau? Oh, Jacob would have the blessing. He would have the blessing of the Lord. And it was not merely the things of this life, no, but they were spiritual matters that now became so important in that life of Jacob. Such a newborn begins to hate things that he has never hated before, namely sin. How shall I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Or do we know something of those new desires? Do we know also something of what it means to hate sin? Or him who is born again, he begins to be affected by things that never before was he affected with, and that the natural man is not affected with. How is that, children? When in this day, then we had a foot of snow,
and the doors of God's house would have to be closed, how would it be? Are you born of the flesh? Or is there something that is born of the Spirit in you? Because when David, who was born of the Spirit, he had to be away, he had to miss being in the tabernacle of the Lord, then there was a grief in his soul. Then his heart longed that he may come again to that house of God. Of what is this, the effect of what is this, the fruit, that this is the fruit of that new birth. And those who are born of the Spirit, they begin to make decisions in a different way than those who are simply born of the flesh. Then to take into consideration more than what is just natural. Oh, what was the great difference in the decision of a Ruth and an Orpah? Even when it had to come through the trial, Orpah chose for all the things of this world because she did not see a treasure. She did not see comeliness in the things that Ruth saw comeliness in. Oh, the spiritual things, they made no difference to an Orpah. But that people that are born of the Spirit, they receive an affection. They receive a love. A love not only to the people of the Lord, but also to the God of the people. That is that love that Ruth may express in her life. Oh, to be born of the Spirit. What is the effect? What is the fruit of this in the life of a man? Oh, what is the direction that they are seeking? Also in the things for this life. Oh, we read of David, that he is made king and that the Philistines are coming against him. And what must David do? David must go on his knees. David must ask, Lord, wilt thou have me to go up against the Philistines to battle? And then he needs the Lord to give unto him an answer. Oh, to be born of the Spirit, then we are seeking a company that the man that is born of the flesh is not seeking. You say of the people of God, yes, not only. But what did Moses say? O Lord, if thy presence go not up with us, carry us not up hence. All the things of eternity, the presence of the Lord, the nearness of the Lord, that is becoming so real in the life of that people that are born of the Spirit. It is spiritual matters. Oh, have those spiritual matters ever become so real and so desirable also unto you? Oh, a great change. That is such a great change that other people in this world can be so puzzled about that people. How that they make their decisions. How that the longing of their heart can go after that which they cannot even see. Sometimes they think and they say even that they are out of their mind. That is what they even said about the Lord Jesus. Who said it? His own friend said it. He is beside himself. He is outside of himself. Also his mother and his brothers. And they want to talk to the Lord Jesus. And they want to talk him out of this. Thy mother and thy brethren are without and they desire to speak with thee. But the Lord Jesus will not go. And why will he not go? Because he is not out of his mind. And that people are not out of their mind. No, but that people have received their mind. That people may see the reality of
all things, even of their life.
That brings us to the necessity of that new birth in our second thought. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Who spoke those words? That was the Lord Jesus Christ himself. That was not just a man. They are not the words only of a minister. They are not the words only of God's servant. But they are the words of God himself. They are words of the Son of God, who declares the necessity of this new birth. Oh, it is he who was with the Father already in eternity. It is he that was with the Father in the council of peace. And when they spoke together, when they covenanted together concerning the salvation of mankind, the salvation of his church, the salvation of his elect. Who is it that has spoken these words? It is he who has said, I will go. It is he who has left the place of his glory. It is he who has become incarnate. It is he that has begun already to walk in that way that he promised, that he may fulfill everything for the redemption of his church in his active, in his passive obedience. He that was about to begin in that way of awful suffering and to go through death for his own church. Objectively, that is now the part that is beginning to be fulfilled for the redemption of the church of God. And now in the beginning of his ministry, the Lord Jesus gives an explanation to this Nicodemus. And he says, Nicodemus, my objective work, my payment of the price for the sin of my people is insufficient. It's insufficient. Oh, then you need more. Oh, whose word, congregation, has more authority than the word of Christ himself? People felt it. He speaks as one who has authority. He does not speak as the scribes. What does he say? Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus had addressed him. He said, Rabbi, great one, honorable one, master, he says, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Great acknowledgement. Great confession that did not come from everyone, certainly not from the Pharisees. Confession about who the Lord Jesus is, that he is a teacher come from God. He has seen, he believes his divine origin. Great acknowledgement. And what did the Lord Jesus say to him? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. It is a good confession, Nicodemus. It is a true confession, Nicodemus. But with this confession alone, you cannot see kingdom of God. Why does he say that it is necessary that a man be born again? in order to see the kingdom of God. Why? We hear it in the assumption that the Lord Jesus takes when he says these words. And what is that assumption? What is implied in this word of the Lord Jesus Christ? That is, that by nature, you are outside of the kingdom of God. Outside. It begins in the beginning. Do you also begin there? For yourself? The Lord Jesus preaches unto this man the reality. What is the reality? The reality is his fall in Adam. The reality is not on the inside, Nicodemus, with all your religion. But the reality is outside. A broken covenant. Belonging unto the kingdom of Satan. Spiritually dead. And there is one way alone, Nicodemus, one way alone to come into that kingdom, that is to be born again. Why? Because that which is flesh is flesh, and that will remain flesh until it is born of the Spirit. Because man is fallen, because man is corrupt, because man is depraved, because man is shapen in iniquity. And so he will remain until he is born of the Spirit. And Nicodemus, you may be religious and you may be baptized and you may make confession and you may be faithful in coming to the house of God and you may give unto the poor and you may speak great things, even that God is your Father. But verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he shall not see the kingdom of God. Because that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and remains flesh until it is born of the Spirit. How can these things be? Nicodemus does not understand it. In congregation, we are so like Nicodemus. And why? Why are we like Nicodemus? Because we do not see either why it is so necessary that a person would be born again. And why not? Because we do not believe the fall. Because we are not convinced in our own heart, because we are not convinced in our own soul of our utter depravity. We make but a mere lip confession of this depravity. What do we think we need? We need a little reformation. Oh yes, we must be a little bit more careful. We must pay a little bit more attention. We must do a little bit better this year than we did last year. But a new birth, a dying of the flesh, to be born of the Spirit, no, this is not necessary. We do not need to go this far. A congregation, once a person is convinced by the Holy Spirit of his depravity, then he will see immediately what is necessary, and that is such a great change that he has to be born again. What is the teaching of the Holy Spirit? O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Who shall deliver me from it? The Lord Jesus, the Son of God, made nothing of all the religion, of all the piety,
of all the decency, of all the confession of a Nicodemus. Nothing. He said, Nicodemus, you must be born again. Why? Not just because of what man is, but Nicodemus also because of who God is. There is an emphasis in these words of the Lord Jesus. He does not say, you may not be born again. He does not say, you shall not be born again. But he says, you cannot see that kingdom of God except you are born again. Thus, what does he say, Nicodemus? Not only is it not possible with men, but it is not possible with God. That is, to bring you into the kingdom of heaven if you are not born again. Are there things, children, that God cannot do? Yes, there are things that God cannot do. Why? Because God is not wise enough? Because God is not powerful enough? No, not because he lacks wisdom, not because he lacks power. But there are things that God is not able to do because God is not able to deny who he is. He will give you an example. The Lord is not able to lie. The Lord is not able to sin because of who that the Lord is. There is no unrighteousness, we read, in him. The Lord is not able to go against his own word, his own secret will. And what does the Lord Jesus say? That the Lord is also not able to take an unregenerate and unholy and a wicked person into communion with himself just as he is. That, he says, would be a contradiction. Oh yes, he can convert him. He can forgive him and he can wash him and he can cleanse him. And so he can bring him into communion with himself. But he cannot take a person that is still only flesh, who is not born of the Spirit, and give him to see the kingdom of God, because this would be a contradiction in God himself. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, that is the oath of that Son of God, except a man be born again, he cannot see that kingdom of God. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. God is not a man that he should lie, and God cannot go against his own word. God would bring a man of the natural flesh to see his kingdom, then God would have to overthrow first the very nature of that whole kingdom of God. Why? Because what is spiritual cannot receive that which is merely natural. Congregation, what do we have to do with our loved ones when they die? Then it is not long, but we have to lay them in the grave. Is that difficult? Or if we could even keep their bodies in our homes, we would like to keep them, to hold on to them forever. We cannot. Why not? Because the dead are not able to be with the living. They cannot exist together. They cannot dwell together. The living, they are unable to receive the dead into their presence. And thus, If a man in his natural state was brought to see that kingdom of God and in the presence of the holy beings, then first the Lord would have to overturn the whole nature first of that kingdom of God. If the Lord would bring us just as we have been born to see that kingdom of God, then the Lord would first have to overthrow the whole nature of the redemption of man. Why? What is redemption? All redemption, that is to save a man from sin. That is to deliver a man from sin. To wash him from it. To cleanse him from it. And from the consequences of sin, what is that? Death. That is spiritual death, to give him to live. Thus, if the Lord would bring a man of the flesh to see the kingdom of God, then the whole nature of the redemption of man first has to be overthrown. Therefore, the Son of Man, the Son of God, he says, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." But how then? How then is a man born again? This we wish to consider for a few moments after we sing. Psalter 290, 1, 2, 4, and 5. Praise ye the Lord, for he is good. Give thanks and bless his name. His loving kindness changes not from age to age the same. 1, 2, 4, and 5 of Psalter 290.
Verily, verily I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Congregation, do you desire to see the kingdom of God? By nature, we do not. We think we do, but we do not understand what the kingdom of God is. Yes, we want to go to heaven. Yes, we want to live forever. Yes, we want to be happy. And if we want these things, then we want what every person in this world wants. Because that is the common desire of all flesh. But the kingdom of God is spiritual. And that, by nature, we do not want. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. Those that are naturally dead have no natural desire. They do not even desire life, natural life. There is no desire. What does Solomon say? The dead know not anything. Those that are spiritually dead also do not have any spiritual desire. Only carnal. There is nothing that breathes after God because they are dead. The most that a man can have is a carnal desire for spiritual things. And a carnal interpretation of spiritual things. That is the most that we can have by nature. Oh, what a plight is that man in who is born of the flesh. Is that your case also? Say he cannot give himself life. He cannot even give to himself desire, longing for that life. What a plight. Is it hopeless then for the people? No, it is not. It is not. And why not? Because that dead man is not the author of that life. No, the Lord Jesus says, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again. And that word again, that means actually from above. That means actually of things that come from above. Except a man be born from above, from the things of God. Thus, this is now the only hope. This is now the only expectation of those who are in the flesh.
and that may have even a carnal interpretation of the things of the Spirit and only a carnal cry for spiritual things, just in a natural manner. Do you have such a cry? Then you go to the right place. Because we read that they are born from above. And who are the objects upon whom that the Lord is bestowing this blessing of that new birth? Who are the objects? They are the spiritually dead. Are you a fit object for that new birth? Or will you not now lay your case before the Lord to say, Lord, I am dead and I cannot give to myself that life, and I cannot give to myself even the desire because of my deadness? Or will you not lay your case in all your own helplessness and all your own hopelessness? Will you not lay your case before Him who is the author and the giver of life? That is now the work of the Holy Spirit. Not just to instruct His people, not just to comfort His people, but in the first place to give them life, to quicken His church. And as long as the world is standing, then that Spirit is giving life from the dead. And what is the means that He is using to give that life from the dead, that new birth? That is His Word. That is the reading of His Word. That is the searching of His Word. And that it is in a special way the preaching of His Word. It is not the TV. It is not movies. It is not the internet. It is not worldly entertainment. It is not novels. It is not fiction books. No, it is the Word of God. The Word, not to the living, but the Word of God unto the dead, in order that they may live. So Ezekiel had to preach unto dry bones. And he had to say to those dead dry bones, live. And they lived. That is the new birth. O congregation, there is nothing so important in our dead state, wherein how many of us must acknowledge and confess that we still are lying. There is nothing so important as the placing ourselves under the means, not only in public, but also in private. Oh, is that Word of God a dead letter to you? Do you not understand it? In one moment, the Lord can give you to understand His Word. Oh, do not read in it that you may search in it for all the niceties and all the historical and interesting things that you can find in the Word of God. No. That is no way to read in the Word of God. It is not given to us for a history lesson. No. Oh, read that word of God and search that word of God and the writings according to that word of God, the explanations of that word of God for the need of your own dead soul. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see that kingdom of God. Or why does the Lord Jesus say these words to Nicodemus? That Nicodemus will not deceive himself with all his religion. How often does the Lord Jesus not come back again, time after time, to uncover the false foundations of religious people? Why? Because the Lord Jesus is also going to gather Pharisees. Pharisees unto himself. That is difficult. Because if we have no religion, then the truth only needs to be planted. But if we have a false hope, then first, our false hope needs to be thrown overboard. And the Lord has to show himself to be the stronger one. That is difficult for our flesh. That is resisted by our flesh to strip us down and to take away our false hopes. That we have to admit before the Lord that we are wrong. And yet the Lord is stronger. Nicodemus, he said, how can these things be? But later on, then we see the love of God in the heart of that man. The love of God. When it comes, when Jesus is dead. And then he doesn't care anymore about what all his fellow Pharisees think. Then he is going to bring him unto his burial. All Paul will also be uncovered, discovered, and his false religion will be stripped away. And he will come one day to say that what was gained to me before, oh, I counted all loss for the Lord Jesus Christ. It is false foundations uncovered, verily. Verily I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Congregation, if it will be well with us, we need to have not one life, we need to have two lives. And there is a people that are much perplexed about this question. Do I really have two lives? Am I truly born again? We have heard a few marks, but the Lord willing, we hope to try to bring a few more of them. But there is also people who are not concerned at all about it. They are not perplexed about it. Because they have no thought and no desire to see the kingdom of God. No, the kingdom of this world. The things that are here. The things that are now. O congregation. If it remains so. You will never. See the kingdom of God. If it never becomes for us a burden. In this world. That we are outside of that kingdom. Then one day. Then it is going to be pronounced, depart from me. And that forever and forever. Then there are also others. They are not perplexed either. Whether they are in or out. Because they presume themselves to be in. And they were never out. They were always in. and they have never been born again. Never a great change. And they never question themselves. And they will not have anyone else to question them either. Oh, be sure. Be certain that if so it remains, then we shall never see the kingdom of God. How can these things be? That is now the question of the wise and the prudent in this world, and even the religious in the church. But it is revealed to babes how these things can be. It is revealed to babes. And those babes, they not only are given to believe it, they are given to receive it by a true heartfelt experience. And just a little bit of that kingdom, they may see already now by moments. And the rest that is reserved for eternity. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, it is a serious matter that thou bringest to us that we must be born again. O grant that new birth. Thou who art the giver, thou who art the author of life, that this matter may be bound upon our hearts, and that we may go out of this place with a true concern that we are not born again, that we are unconverted, and that it may lay in our heart, Lord, remember us, forgive our many sins, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Psalter 415, stanzas 3 and 4. Call to mind, O Lord Jehovah, tender mercies manifold, and thy store of loving kindness, which has ever been of old. And what follows in 3 and 4 of Psalter 415.
receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. And the Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.